And to Jesus be the glory and the honor and the praise. I'm so glad you're with me today. I really am. And I thank God for you. I thank the Lord for your life and for being my wonderful partner. You've stood with me all these years. And I pray the Lord will just reward you over and over and over again. And God's people said, Amen. Now, I have been talking about mental health, how important mental health is to us today, especially with what's going on all around us. And the answer to mental health really is in the Word of God. The Bible has so much to tell us about mental health and how we can have longevity too, not just have it for a short time, you know. So, wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray and I expect and I believe you're going to touch each one of us today, Lord, with your word. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, quicken your word to our hearts, to our minds. Fill us afresh today, Lord, with your mighty power. Thank you for your presence. I give you the praise. Be our teacher, sweetest, wonderful Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. And God's people said, Amen and Amen. All right. Wherefore, I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3, because in it is the secret. It's really the foundation of true, lasting mental health. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, meaning the great list of the giants of faith in Hebrews 11. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, the word beset means to wrap itself around our neck, ensnare us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, sin so easily ensnares us. It's like a rope around people's necks, you know. But now we are to run with patience the race. How? Looking unto Jesus. That's the key right here. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the word looking here doesn't mean looking just one time. It means a continual looking. And it's not only looking, it's turning our eyes away from other things and fixed our eyes on the Lord. That's what looking means. Isn't that amazing? To look means to take your eyes away from other things and look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we are to look at Jesus, who endured the sufferings of Calvary, who despised the shame of Calvary. These things by themselves will cause mental breakdown in no time. But he did not allow that to happen to him, because for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He saw the results of the cross, you see? And it says, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners. Hostility is the word here for contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So here we have the secret of not letting our minds faint or break down. Now, God's word is very clear. It says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, continual thinking in the heart, so is he. So what do? We have to be careful, and I said that to you yesterday. We have to be careful what we allow into our minds. Now, if someone watching me has been having troubles mentally, then it is time you stop looking and stop allowing into your mind the things that caused all that in the first place. whatever they may be. So we stop. That's what the word looking, remember? Looking means we take our eyes away from what has been, what we've been fixed on, and now we fix our eyes on Jesus, and we look to Him to deliver us from that mind. But we need to give the Lord tools. See, we need to give Him the tools, and the tools are His Word. That's the greatest tool I know that gives us mental health, is the blessed Word of God coming into our hearts and minds daily. See, today I read Genesis 42 right through Genesis 50. I finished the book of Genesis since last Tuesday. I started reading Genesis June 1. Today I was done. Now, you say, why are you telling us that? Because I believe when the Word of God comes to you daily, it keeps your mind together and keeps it clean from other things that want to get in. Fill your mind with the Word that there would be no space for the world. See, you fill your mind with the Word and there will be no space for the world in your mind. That's the first thing we do. Ooh, you like that, didn't you, Chad? That's the first thing we do. Because we've learned from experience that when you sow a thought, you reap an act. And when you sow an act, you reap a habit. And when you sow a habit, you reap a character. And when you sow a character, you reap a destiny. See? Now, I'm going to say it again, even though I've told you that yesterday, I'm going to say it again. When you allow a thought and it is sown like a seed in your mind, what do you reap? An act. You act because of the thought. And then if you keep acting, what happens? A habit. You reap a habit. It becomes habitual. Once you do it over and over, it becomes a habit. And if you keep repeating the habit and you sow the habit, you reap what? A character. It becomes who you are, basically. People will say, oh, he's like that. That's your character. When you sow that character, you reap the final result, destiny. Now it controls your life and future. So, I told you, and I'll say it again, when Satan came to tempt Eve, he attacked her mind. He attacked her mind. He aimed at her mind. And it is the same way with God. When he comes aiming at our mind. Let us reason together, Psalm 118, says the Lord. You know, he aims at the mind. Now, the mind, before salvation, the Bible says it was corrupt. In Titus 1:15, it says the mind was corrupt. Why? Because of sin. And the world was really in control of our minds and our lives. The mind is the wick. You know how a candle has a wick on top? That's the mind. If the wick is dirty, if the wick is filthy, you can't light the candle properly. It's not going to catch fire. Be no light coming out of it, basically. So the wick has to be cleaned. Our minds must be cleansed. How? By the Word. Only the Word can remove that corruption that was in there before salvation. The Bible also says that our minds are blinded. Before we were saved, they were blinded. Blinded. We had blind minds, not only corrupt minds, but they were blind minds. And thirdly, hostile minds towards God. Let me give you those scriptures quickly. Let's go to Titus, because I want you to write that down and kind of, you know, study it a little bit for yourself. See what the Bible says about your mind and how to get it all fixed up and clean so you don't end up with a breakdown. Unto the pure, I'm reading Titus 1:15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. So here we see a defiled or a corrupt mind. The other thing it says to us, how the devil has blinded those who don't know the Lord. So before salvation, every one of us had a blind mind. But now through the word, the mind begins to see clearly, you know. So it says in God, let me just read 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, blinded minds. So when we tackle the mind, we have to realize they're corrupt and blinded before we can ever fix them. And number three, hostile towards God. There's a lot of enmity in the mind towards the Lord. And so our minds really were God's enemies before salvation. And look, it takes time for all that to change, okay? So it says in Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now he hath reconciled. But reconciliation happens in a process. When I got saved, my mind was not what it is today. See, it takes years to clean the garbage out. It takes years to be free from the corruption, from the blindedness, from the hostility in our mind that was there for years and years before we got saved. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, it's true, but it doesn't happen overnight. You've got to hear this. This is important. It says, if you continue in my word, then you'll be free. Jesus said that in John 8. If you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in my word, it's a process. It's a process. So not you, not me, not anyone was ever delivered from all the mess in our life in 1 second. And I'm talking about the spiritual mess and the mental mess. Yes, we were saved in 1 second. Never, never say anything different. I want to explain this. When you got saved, your soul was saved. Then I'll repeat it. When you got saved, your spirit was saved. Your soul began to be saved. Your body is still not saved. Your body will be saved on resurrection morning. So it's like this. My spirit was saved. My soul is being saved even now. My body will be saved when the Lord returns. So it's very clear that the spirit is fine. My spirit is whole. My spirit is complete. My spirit is renewed. Perfect. But my soul, I'm still working on that. God is still working on my soul. You know, the old soul, the old song, he's still working on me. Right? You probably have heard that. So God created the moon and the stars in 1 second, but he's still working on me. So God is still working on us. He's changing you and me from glory to glory to glory to glory. So don't get discouraged. These things don't happen overnight. It could take years. But here's what we have to do. We give God the tool to work with. And the tool is what? His word. When his word gets in, not only does the word clean up our life and clean up our mind, giving us the power to let these things go. You know, it says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. So we begin with a decision. I am going to no longer look at this or look at that or talk to him or talk to her or do this or do that. Then I make that decision. How? By the power of the word in me, I'm able to make a decision. Now, once I make that decision, God will do his part in filling my mind with his word and cause me to know it. Jeremiah 31:33. I will put my law into their minds and write them on their hearts. The word of God is not going to have any impact on us till it begins to have an impact on our mental state. The word of God cannot get into our heart till it gets into our mind first. And when our mind becomes loaded with the word begins to drip into our spirit man and begins to, you know, bring change and beauty and that, transforming us into the image of the Lord Jesus. So, and then it begins to work as the spirit becomes, you know, abundantly blessed and begins to overflow. And now it overflows out of the spirit into the soul. And the soul begins to feel the impact of the power within, working within us. And that's why Paul said, renew the spirit of your mind, the spirit of your mind. So there's you and I, and you know, I don't want to confuse you. We have really three minds, not just one. Okay? I think I just caught somebody's attention. We got three minds. We have the spiritual mind, the soulish mind, and the physical mind. That's what we have. So the physical mind, we call that the brain. It's just flesh. Huh? It's the brain. Then when I feel the word first, when I fill this with the word first, this brain, it begins to affect my soulish mind, the way I think, the way I feel, the way I decide, all that. That's my soul. Now my soul slowly gets that word in my spirit, and the mind of my spirit comes alive in Jesus, you see. Even though I'm saved, the new man needs to develop. Means to grow. That's what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. He said, your faith groweth exceedingly. That faith is growing where? In the spirit man. Because it's a spiritual force. Faith is not a mental force or a soulish force. It's a spiritual force. In 2 Corinthians, we read that very clearly. That the spirit of faith is a spirit. And all that begins to work as the word gets in there. And that's why I say it's a process. So, the minute we begin to fill our minds, what we've done is we've begun the cleansing process. Remember I told you yesterday, your mind is like a garden. Okay? You have to clean the garden that's been neglected for a long time. And you do this with the word because it has cleansing power. And then you continue now with the word and it has planting power. And God himself comes in now and start to do the work. But we give him the tools. And the tool, his word. Very simple. Now, the minute you begin to fill your mind like that, you will stop thinking like a child. You start thinking like an adult, like a son and a daughter. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. And you know, a lot of sadly, and maybe I shouldn't say a lot, but you know, quite a few believers are still not grown spiritually. So it says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Don't be a child when it comes to your mind. So what we do now, the first thing we do, the minute that mind is cleaned up, we put a belt around it. We put a protective, like, border around it so the world won't affect us anymore in any way. That's why Peter in 1 Peter 1:13, he said, gird up your minds. That's a very powerful, powerful declaration. And that's how I begin to build and to build. I'm preparing my mind basically for action for God. So I, not only am I cleaning it, not only is God planting his seed in it, now it's my job also to protect it with the word. So, 1 Peter, let's look at it. These are all very important keys that will give you mental health. And yes, you are right. The key is the word of God. There is no other key. It's not books. It's not magazines. It's not even watching Christian TV. Okay, as much as I'm so glad we have it. It's the Word, where you just sit quietly in the presence of the Lord. And you just read His Word and meditate upon His Word. It's beautiful. God uses that. I was telling Chad, did I give you chapter by chapter of Genesis? Yes or no?
Pastor, you gave me chapter by chapter of Genesis. It was like a movie.
But then here's what I said to him. I said, when I lay in bed at night, I go through every chapter in my head. That's how I meditate. Meditation is the dripping of the Word into my spirit. Can I say it again? So when I read the Word today, I was reading. Now tonight, I lay down in my bed and I go right through it one more time. I go through every chapter, what I read, and including, amazingly, even my emotions get in there. You know, today as I was reading, I was feeling it. I was in it. I was absorbing it. What am I doing? I'm meditating. And now tonight, I fully meditate. Because when you absorb it, it's that Selah, you know, like, oh, I want to think about this, like what happened to me this morning. So there is meditation also when you read. But at night, when you're just laying in bed and you just start to go through everything, it so occupied me and so occupies me that I go through it in my head. And you know what it does? It drips in my spirit. It's like chewing it. You know, it's like those cows chewing, you know, their food. It gets in there. That's how you gird up the loins of your mind. It's by doing what I'm telling you. Wherefore it says, 1 Peter 1:13, gird up. I like that word gird. It means prepare your mind for action. Wow. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, the second you prepare your mind for action, you become bold in the spirit. You be sober. You hope to the end. You don't give up anymore like you did whenever. And now God rewards you by bringing you into a revelation of the Lord Jesus Himself. It says so. To be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus. Wow, this is incredible. So, we clear it, and now we plant it, and now we guard it. And when we start guarding it, something begins to happen. Impure thoughts begin to leave. You see, what you don't know is, and I want to say this really important, and then tomorrow I'm gonna deal with this. It takes strongholds. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. When things come in from the outside, they lodge into your brain. They affect the soulish realm. And sadly, in many cases, it affects the spiritual life of a Christian too. See? Now you say to yourself, I won't do that again, but then you have to start cleaning, the cleaning of the garden that's been neglected with the Word. Then God comes and puts His law. The planting begins. Then it's your responsibility to protect it with girding your mind through meditation. But now something else happens. The strongholds begin to get loosed. Because see, the devil can only come into a stronghold. A stronghold. That's where demons dwell. That's where the battle is raging. It's in the stronghold that's in the mind. Remember what it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Where are they? Casting down imaginations. The imaginations are strongholds. And every thought that is become a stronghold, So these things are all in the mind. That's what Paul talks about. Imaginations, thought, and so much more is in the mind. It becomes a stronghold for demons. And so we use our weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every thought that is rebelling against, you know, against the Lord, and so much more. Once the word gets in there, the strongholds, they start, it's like cement, you know, in the ground, like in a foundation. It starts to break. It starts to disappear. And the first thing that begins to break is all impurity that the devil has put in there for years and years and years, that the devil goes back and uses again. A guy told me one day, he says, I can't help it. He said, I sit in church or I'm reading my Bible and these horrible thoughts come to me. That used to happen to Andrew Murray, one of the greatest saints of God. And he dealt with it the same way I'm telling you now. Impure thoughts come to all of us. Come on. These are strongholds from our past, even from our Christian past when we were neglecting the word. These impure thoughts become strongholds and lead people in a different path. So the first thing that God begins to get out of us, the strongholds that begin to disappear, is impure thoughts. So it's what Jesus talked about in Matthew 5. I'm gonna finish this tomorrow because I think this is so key. In Matthew 5, verse 28, the Lord talks about this. He said, but I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart because of a stronghold. So the Lord was not saying the thought. He was saying the act. The thought is what begins. Now it has to be dealt with. It has to be nipped, you know. It has to be taken out. So the Bible tells us clearly that the enemy attacks us with what we look at often. And often, that's a stronghold. A thing that is repeated over and over and over. So when the Lord said, he that looks on a woman and commits sin, it's the one who keeps looking. Why is he looking? Because the stronghold. And now what happens is when the stronghold starts to leave, he's looking less and less and less till he's free. While before that he was looking more and more and more, building a stronger stronghold. Now when the word has the power and the impact like a hammer, that's breaking that thing down, he's looking less and less. He's thinking less and less, and he is freer more and more. We're going to continue tomorrow talking about a lot more than that, because I want to finish that, and then we're going to pray tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to ask God to set you free from that mind that has been troubling you, that the devil has used against you already. Huh? I'm going to believe God for not only spiritual mental health, but also physical mental health. Tomorrow, join me for a great healing service for the mind. Wonderful Lord. Come on, let's believe God. Wonderful Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts as a result of this. Not only in our minds, but also in our hearts. Lord, I pray you'll guide us tomorrow. I pray you'll bring freedom to your people. Let this be the beginning of the most glorious season for mental peace and mental health in Jesus' wonderful name. And let the season be a long one till you take us home, that we will be walking on a brighter path in Jesus' name. And Lord, meet every other need right now for your glory. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed that and you learned. Now it's time to give to the Lord's work. It's time to sow seed so God can bless your future. Give. It's a command. It's not an advice. Give. It shall be given unto you. good measure. Oh, great measure. Good measure. Press down for more space. And the Bible says it's going to come into abundance. It's going to overflow. God will give it to you as you sow and as you obey. And giving is a process. It's continual. It's like giving to the Lord that precious bread to him. Every single day they brought the bread into the tabernacle. You know? And when we give him that, it's like giving him that precious bread. And God will bless us. Cast your bread upon the waters. It shall come after many days. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the troubles of life. Keep your eyes on the promises of God. Because he says, it will surely come. He that sows in tears will reap in joy. In due time you will reap if you faint not. This is not the time to faint or to worry. It's the time to believe. And now wrap faith around your seed as you sow it and see what God will do with you. Not only today, but longevity, blessings coming continually. All right, you can give right now by sowing your seed. And it's right there on that platform you're watching me on, where it says donate or give. Or you can go to benihin.org or simply text it, BHM 45777. And if you have a prayer need, send me an email, pastorbenihin.org. And also, I'm going to begin offering you wonderful gifts that you can download, that you can download beginning next week. So if you want those gifts from us, I need your email. All right? I'll be sending you a monthly gift beginning next week on email. You can download special teachings or music that we're going to give you as a gift. But I need you to send me your email for that to happen. So if you have not sent me your email, send it to me to PastorBenihin.org. Or if you want to include a prayer request, of course, go ahead. Or a praise report. PastorBenihin.org. Much love to you. And yes, the list of the names of from Adam to Noah and the children of Israel is coming to you this week. Be looking for it. Much love. Bye-bye.